Welcome back to the Mbaga Media Finance Podcast. Today, we're diving deep into a fascinating development in the world of technology and national strategy, America's potential de facto sovereign wealth fund and its implications for the future of quantum computing.
It's a huge topic, host. We're seeing a global race for technological supremacy, and at the heart of it is the US, especially in its dynamic with China. This isn't just about faster chips. It's about foundational technologies that will redefine economies and national security.
Exactly. And quantum computing is emerging as a critical frontier in this race. The potential applications are mind-blowing, from revolutionizing drug discovery and materials science to completely overhauling cryptography and AI. It's a realm that surpasses our current classical computing capabilities.
And that's why the U.S. government's growing interest and exploration of bolstering this nascent industry is so significant. It signals a potential shift in economic and industrial policy, moving beyond just regulation to active investment and shaping innovation.
To really grasp this, we need to understand what a sovereign wealth fund, or SWF, is. Essentially, it's a state-owned investment fund. Think of it as a nation's way of investing globally in assets like stocks, bonds, or real estate to generate returns and diversify its economic base.
Right, they're powerful tools for economic strategy. But the really intriguing part here is the idea that the Trump administration, through specific actions, has effectively been operating a de facto sovereign wealth fund. No formal establishment, but acting very much like one.
Let's dive into the specifics of this de facto sovereign wealth fund in action. One of the most notable examples that led to this assessment is the government's significant stake in Intel. This was a major public fund commitment into a company that's absolutely central to the semiconductor industry.
And the context is vital here. Semiconductors are the backbone of all modern technology. Securing domestic production and innovation in this area is viewed as a matter of national security. So, this investment wasn't just about injecting capital, it was about guiding Intel's future development.
Another compelling example is the Pentagon's planned stake in MP Materials. This company is a powerhouse in extracting and processing rare earth minerals, materials absolutely essential for everything from our smartphones and electric cars to defense systems and renewable energy.
The Pentagon's specific interest really underscores the national security implications. Controlling access to these critical raw materials is paramount. A government stake in a key domestic supplier like MP Materials is a clear move to secure that supply chain, which is a huge strategic win.
These instances aren't isolated, they form a pattern. There have been other potential or past government investments and interventions in critical tech sectors, all contributing to this narrative of the government acting as a direct, strategic investor. This sets the stage for how they might engage with other high-stakes fields.
And that brings us directly to quantum computing. Why is this field so critical, and why is it attracting this level of strategic government attention? Quantum computers leverage quantum mechanics, like superposition and entanglement, to perform calculations far beyond classical computers.
The potential applications are truly staggering. In medicine, imagine accelerating drug discovery by simulating molecular interactions with unparalleled accuracy. Or in materials science, creating entirely new materials with novel properties we can only dream of now.
And from a national security standpoint, it's even more critical. Quantum computing could break current encryption standards, making much of our digital security obsolete, while also enabling new, quantum-resistant cryptography. It could also supercharge AI and complex optimization problems.
The quantum computing industry itself is a dynamic mix of ambitious startups and major tech players. Given its immense potential and the fact that nations like China are investing heavily, the US government's growing interest is completely understandable. It's framed as a national security and global competitiveness imperative.
This interest has manifested in early-stage conversations between Commerce Department officials and key players in the quantum computing industry. It shows a direct engagement and a desire to understand and potentially shape the sector's development.
So, how is the government looking to provide this support for quantum computing? This is where the CHIPS and Science Act becomes incredibly relevant. Originally designed to boost domestic semiconductor manufacturing, it's now being eyed as a potential funding vehicle for quantum initiatives.
The discussions suggest leveraging CHIPS Act funds to back specific quantum projects and companies, with a key criterion being that they must be deemed critical to national security. This is a significant strategic pivot, applying tools from one tech domain to another.
The potential benefits for the quantum industry are substantial. Crucial capital for R&D, accelerated scaling of technologies, and fostering industry-government collaboration. It could really propel the sector forward at a critical stage of development.
However, this approach isn't without its questions and challenges. Using an act primarily for semiconductors to fund quantum computing could spark debates about its intended scope. It also raises the concern of the government stepping into the role of picking winners and losers in a highly specialized field.
That direct intervention, while potentially beneficial for national goals, can lead to discussions about market distortion and the best way to foster organic innovation. It's a delicate balance between strategic direction and allowing the market to drive development.
This targeted approach, using existing legislation for new strategic goals, brings us to broader questions about government intervention in emerging technologies and the concept of economic statecraft. It's about using economic tools for geopolitical advantage.
The competitive angle with China is undeniable here. These moves are widely seen as responses to, or preemptions of, Chinese advancements in critical technologies like AI, semiconductors, and quantum computing. Technological dominance equates to economic power and strategic influence.
The implications for global tech supply chains and innovation ecosystems are profound. When governments become direct investors, it can alter investment flows, influence research priorities, and potentially create bifurcated global markets. It's a significant shift.
For industry leaders, this prospect of government partnership is a double-edged sword. On one hand, it offers vital capital, validation, and alignment with national priorities, potentially accelerating development significantly.
But on the other hand, it can bring increased government oversight and strategic directives that might not always align with pure commercial goals. There's also the risk of becoming entangled in broader geopolitical rivalries, which can complicate business operations.
A timeline of key US and China tech milestones alongside government initiatives would likely show a clear pattern of responsive and proactive measures from both sides, each striving to maintain or gain a strategic edge in this critical technological race.
This brings us to a crucial point, the inherent risks and potential downsides of such a concentrated, government-led approach. While securing national leadership in a transformative technology like quantum computing is appealing, heavy-handed intervention can sometimes stifle innovation.
History shows that breakthrough innovations often emerge from unexpected places, from individuals or small, agile teams pursuing niche ideas. If the early internet had been solely dictated by government strategic objectives, would we have the vibrant ecosystem we see today?
It's a valid question. The risk with a de facto SWF approach, or even repurposing the CHIPS Act for quantum, is that it could funnel vast resources into a select few companies, potentially starving smaller, more experimental ventures that might hold future breakthroughs.
This isn't to say government investment is inherently bad. Public funding has driven many scientific advancements. However, the manner of that funding and the degree of control exerted are crucial. A more distributed approach might foster a more resilient ecosystem.
Indeed. Let's look at the summary of this discussion. For government investment in critical technologies, the strengths are the crucial capital and direction provided by strategic investments, demonstrating flexibility and a proactive approach, especially against rivals like China. This can accelerate development and secure domestic capabilities.
The challenges, however, include risks of market distortion, potential inefficiency, and the danger of picking winners. It could stifle organic innovation and narrow research focus, potentially at the expense of broader civilian benefits. Navigating international collaboration with national security priorities is also complex.
Moving to quantum computing's strategic importance, its strength lies in its paradigm-shifting potential across medicine, materials science, AI, and cryptography. It's a critical area for scientific advancement, economic growth, and national security due to its encryption implications.
The challenges here involve its dual-use nature, necessitating careful management. The field is nascent and complex, making it hard to direct its evolution. Ensuring broad-based progress, rather than narrow, government-dictated advancements, is a key hurdle.
Regarding economic statecraft and geopolitical competition, the strength is the U.S. government's proactive use of economic tools to achieve foreign policy and national security objectives, aiming for technological dominance, which translates to economic power and influence.
The weakness is that this competition can lead to a technology arms race, fostering protectionism and bifurcated markets. Overly nationalistic approaches might hinder global collaboration, which is crucial for rapid scientific progress. The focus on competition might overshadow shared global advancement.
Next, the CHIPS Act repurposing. Its strength is demonstrating adaptive policymaking and allowing the mobilization of existing legislative frameworks and funding to support new strategic priorities, streamlining capital injection into emerging sectors.
The challenge is that using an act designed for semiconductors for quantum computing could lead to debates about its original intent and scope. It also raises questions about whether this is the most effective funding method compared to specialized grants.
Finally, the de facto sovereign wealth fund model. Its strength is allowing the government to exert influence and secure critical supply chains without establishing a large new entity. This pragmatic approach leverages market mechanisms and direct investment.
The weakness here is that it risks creating an uneven playing field for private companies not aligned with government priorities. It could concentrate resources, potentially stifling broader competition, and the long-term adaptability of government-directed strategies is a concern.
So, as these conversations continue and potential investments materialize, the landscape of quantum computing and U.S. economic policy is clearly evolving. The government's willingness to explore unconventional funding and its pattern of direct investment signal a more interventionist approach to nurturing critical technologies.
This strategy is deeply intertwined with the global competition, especially with China, where technological leadership is seen as key to economic prosperity and national security. The decisions made now regarding quantum computing and its support mechanisms will shape this revolutionary technology and the role of the U.S. government.
It's a complex interplay of innovation, investment, and international strategy. The race for quantum supremacy is becoming a central arena for economic statecraft, and the U.S. is clearly signaling its intent to compete vigorously using a range of tools.
The strategic conversations between commerce officials and quantum companies are a direct response to escalating technological competition. Quantum computing, with its potential to disrupt and create, represents a critical battlefield in this rivalry.
The U.S. government's exploration of financial support, particularly through mechanisms like the CHIPS Act, highlights a recognition that market forces alone might not suffice to ensure American leadership. This is further contextualized by the de facto sovereign wealth fund narrative.
This concept points to a pattern of direct government investment in strategic industries, like Intel and MP Materials, suggesting a broader shift towards a more active, interventionist role in shaping the technological landscape. The implications are far-reaching.
Consider the dual nature of quantum computing's impact: unprecedented breakthroughs in science and medicine versus significant threats to national security via encryption. This duality makes it a paramount strategic technology that governments are keen to control.
The U.S. government's engagement isn't just about fostering innovation, it's about safeguarding national interests. The discussions about leveraging the CHIPS Act for quantum investments underscore a strategy of prioritizing defense and intelligence applications.
This strategic alignment raises the perennial debate about whether governments are best equipped to pick technological winners. While accelerated development is appealing, there's a risk of misallocating resources or stifling broader innovation avenues.
The examples of Intel and MP Materials highlight the underlying rationale: securing critical supply chains and ensuring domestic capacity in areas essential for economic and military strength. Strategic control of resources like rare earth minerals is key.
The broader geopolitical implications are immense. In the competition with China, every significant technological advancement or strategic investment is closely watched and often mirrored. This dynamic fuels a global arms race in foundational technologies.
The outcome of this race will likely determine the global balance of power for decades. For industry leaders, navigating this landscape requires a balance between government collaboration and operating within a framework that prioritizes national security objectives.
Ultimately, this is about evolving economic statecraft, where governments are increasingly willing to deploy direct investment and strategic intervention to secure their technological future. The quantum computing conversations and the de facto SWF are pieces of a larger strategy.
These initiatives will shape the trajectory of quantum computing, influence global supply chains, and redefine the relationship between government and industry in the pursuit of technological dominance. The race is on, and the US is signaling its intent to compete vigorously.
The implications for how technology is developed, funded, and deployed globally are profound. This evolving strategy warrants close attention as it unfolds, marking a significant chapter in both finance and technological innovation.